I've
Hi,
been
Gerald.
Hi,
Hi,
Gerald.
Gerald.
Hi,
I've
Gerald.
been recovering from the disease of addiction since July 29th of 2005. So, I'm right at 18 years and 5 months and 26 days or something like that. So, and that's a complete abstinence for me. I want to read this. I just want to make it clear that this is my experience, strength, and hope. I know this is a specialty meeting, and I discussed that with Hill Marie, and she felt that I did have a message to share with y'all, and so I hope I do. But there's no model for the recovering addict. It tells us that in chapter 8. And we try what we learn on an experimental basis. We keep what we need, and we let the rest go, And so this is a strength and my hope, and I've learned in meetings that I can be sitting in a meeting, and a person can be sharing on the other side of the room, and me and my partner are sitting next to each other, and that person's sharing, and I can lean over to my partner and say, "Hey, after this meeting, I think I'm gonna go slap the taste out of that boy's mouth for what he's talking about." And my partner will look at me and goes, "Well, hell, I was thinking about going and asking him to be my sponsor." And so what I mean by that is that what may irritate me when somebody shares might be the very safe somebody else, and I need to understand that when I'm listening, and I hope that I receive that type of understanding in my share. The sixth tradition in the Green and Gold book says this. It talks about carrying a clear message of recovery, and NA reflects integrity. Our message is outlined in our 12 steps and 12 traditions and further articulated in NA literature. Because our message is also our identity, we take care not to confuse it with the beliefs of other organizations. So I'm not going to be talking about other fellowships. I'm not going to be using their terminology. I'm going to do my best not to. I'm not going to be talking about the other organizations that I may be involved with outside of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm not going to quote from their literature, whether that's the literature of another fellowship or another organization. When I share in Narcotics Anonymous, the sixth tradition in the Green and Gold says that if I carry a clear message and don't mix up the terminologies, that reflects integrity. And the second tradition of our Green and Gold book, the definition of integrity is consistent application of spiritual principles regardless of the circumstances. And that's what I aspire to. That's the foundation of my program, which started with what we just got finished reading and how it works. After we read them 12 steps, it says this. It says there's one thing more than anything else that will defeat us in our recovery. And that's an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. One thing more than anything else will defeat Gerald in recovery. More than anything else. And that's an attitude of indifference or intolerance towards spiritual principles. And my first sponsor really was hardcore on that. And I'll tell you what, how hardcore he was. Recovery is each individual's responsibility. Recovery is my responsibility. I'm not responsible for the disease, but I sure am responsible for my recovery. My sponsor was so hardcore about that. I had my first sponsor for 9 years. He never called me one time, not one time in those 9 years. I had to reach out for my recovery. And I really am thankful for that, to be honest with y'all. Now, my current sponsor, we have a different type of relationship, and it's appropriate, and that's what was necessary for me to share. I used from the age of 15 to 45. I was in the penitentiary 3 times. One of the times I was in the penitentiary was in a and I was on the mental institute, the mental ward, in the penitentiary. Okay, so this ain't no 3 or 4 star place, all right? And so I have, you know, had some diagnosis in the past as a result of behaviors I had as a child and through my use but I am not on any type of medication at the current time for any type of mental illness or physical pain, and I haven't been in the 18 and a half years that I have clean. However, there has been several times in my recovery that I have had illness, and the first time was about a year into my recovery. I was working out on the rigs, and I'm an oil field worker, and that's something that I just learned how to do in recovery. Before recovery, I'd never worked a legitimate job. I was a criminal, and but I got a job out on the oil fields, the bottom of the barrel job, and as a result of not knowing what I was doing, and I was working, it was about 2:30 in the morning and 40 degrees and raining, and not the most ideal conditions. But to make a short story long, I was working with a Stelson wrench, and it was the improper tool for the job, and I ended up cutting off the tips of a few of my fingers trying to fix this problem that we were having. I went ahead and got it fixed and wrapped my hand up and got to the hospital afterwards. You know, they wanted to immediately put me on some drugs for pain, and I told them no. I said that they can anesthetic, and that's what they did, and they sewed the tips of my finger back on, you know, I've got all my fingers today, and of course they gave me a prescription for narcotics and pain when I left, but I never filled it. My fear of returning to who I used to be, what I used to do, the places I used to do it at, and the folks I used to do it with, my fear of returning to that outweighs any fear I've ever experienced in recovery. Fear of working a step, fear of telling somebody something that I needed to tell them, fear of revealing truths about myself, fear of going to my wife and saying I really don't know how to have a healthy relationship and I really need your help in this situation, fear of walking into a bank and asking for a financial advisor and having a kid 25 years old sit across the desk from me when I was 47 at the time and have to look at that youngster's eyes and say, hey, I have no idea how to do this. I'm starting to make some money. I need to learn how to manage it, and I need your help. The fear of doing that, of going back into the world I came from, far outweighs any of those fears. You know, I was in a little bit of pain, but it wasn't that bad. Hell, I mean, I went on about my business. A few years later, I was working in some real tall sawgrass out by Jacksboro, Texas, on some oil wells out there. And I had moved up a little bit in the program. I'm a hard worker, and I'm real quick study, and I learned well. You know, look, in this program of Narcotics Anonymous, I have learned that I don't have to be the hot dog, all right? I ain't got to be the rooster. But if I just show up, I do a hard day's work for an honest day's pay, don't talk bad about the boss, and don't steal nothing, they pay me very well. And I've been promoted very highly as a result of just doing those things. Now, of course, I became efficient at my job because we're not stupid people, right? And we're highly adaptable, we're highly resourceful, and we're highly creative. And those are actually skill sets that are necessary at the job I have today. But anyway, I was working in this sawgrass, and I mean, I'm talking about 9 foot high sawgrass. I'm not talking about the grass in your yard. And we are having to clear off a pad, and them boys were lollygagging around. And back then, this was years and years ago, back then I was highly arrogant and highly aggressive. And so them boys had irritated the hell out of me, that means going back to the penitentiary for me if I do any type of violence. But to be honest with y'all, hell, I couldn't have whipped those three boys anyway. They were young, big old corn-fed Texas boys, all right? They whipped my ass. But what I could do was intimidate the hell out of them, jump out there and get off in that grass and cut that stuff down out of anger, and I didn't protect myself properly. Since that moment, I've acquired terrible, terrible allergies. And those allergies culminated to the point where the infections would get so bad in my eyes, and I'm talking about for years and years later, I'm still dealing with them. To this day, but the infection would get so bad that I couldn't open my eyes. My eyes would be so full of pus and infected that at night my wife would have to get hot compacts. I'd lay on the couch, and she'd have to put hot compacts on my eyes, try to draw that pus up out of there. And several times I had to go to the emergency room and get steroid shots, and eventually I got to where I couldn't breathe. My turbinates and my sinuses. Anyway, I had to go get an operation on the turbinates in my sinuses. In other words, they go in there. You got three turbinates on each side of your sinus cavity, and they go in there and they shave them down so you can breathe. And so I had that surgery, and of course they knocked me out during the surgery. There wasn't an alternative to that. I discussed everything with the folks involved, and they said, no, it's not a local anesthetic on this situation. We got to put you under. But they straightened out. I had a deviated septum, and they had all kind of problems up in there, and they fixed everything. And they gave me a prescription when I got out for pain medicine, and I never got that filled. The pain was bad. I mean, it wasn't as bad as I had made it out to be in my mind. And that's kind of what what I want to kind of tip on a little bit, in the Times of Illness booklet, it says, regardless of how vigilant we are with our mental and spiritual program of recovery, we may react to medication like we did when using drugs. The power of the disease of addiction cannot be underestimated. I don't experience obsession and compulsion, y'all, and I haven't since the moment of my epiphany on July 29th of 2005. I don't obsess and compulse about using drugs at all, never have. But I'd never, even though I don't have that obsession or compulsion, I never for a moment underestimate the power of the disease that is within me. All right? Now I'm recovering from the disease of addiction. Okay? I have a disease that's incurable. I can't get rid of it. Okay? But I'm recovering from it. Okay? I'm not running around from one addiction to the next. The program works. The steps work. Okay? If there's a problem in my recovery, it's not because the program is not working, it's because I'm not working the program. And my first sponsor beat this into me. He's a big old ex-convict biker who had recovered and started a half private halfway house and had done that for many, many, many years, helping ex-convicts and criminals recover. And he beat that into me. If I wake up tomorrow, and my recovery is not going the way I want it to go, it's my responsibility to fix that. It's not because of some diagnosed illness, all right? It's not from any of that. It's because I am not working the program to its fullest potential. The literature is very clear about this, you know, that when we work the program, we get freedom from active addiction and we find a new way. So I don't ever underestimate the addiction. I really like that in that times of illness. I haven't spent a lot of time in that booklet. And really, this is only the second time I've ever been to this type of specialty meeting. And so now I went on back to work. It just about I stayed home one day, and the following day I had an emergency situation. At this time, I was what they call a field supervisor, a black hat operator. And what that is that means that I don't stay out on the rigs and the job sites, that I supervise multiple job sites and multiple personnel at one time. But it's not a windshield supervisor position or a desk supervisor position. If there's a problem, I gotta fix it, okay? We are the service center that you call. You know, if the plumbing breaks, you call the plumber. Well, on the job site, if something breaks, so I had to go out there, and I was all bandaged up and had stents in my nose and my sinuses, but I made it through that. I used Tylenols and BC powders. I find them to be very effective. They're an aspirin. They're not a ibuprofen or a acetaminophen, but I made it through that, you know. And around 2017, by this time I was operations manager, and that means I'm over a whole area of the country. And in my particular case, I'm the ops manager over North Texas in an area called the Barnett Shale. In 2017, I was out in the yard. I was working on a piece of equipment. It was during August. It was about 110 degrees, literally 110 degrees. And then probably because of the ground temperature, it's probably hotter than that, you know. And I was working on a piece of equipment, and it was getting the best of me, all right. And I was a bit irritated, and when that occurs to me, I get highly focused. I get tunnel vision on what I'm doing, and as a result of that, I didn't hydrate properly, and I didn't take breaks properly. for those conditions. These are deadly conditions in Texas during the summer when you're working in these types of environments. And I stroked out. And so that really changed my life. Now, the whole time I'm dealing with these doggone sinuses after the turbinate operation, I got to taking the Singulair and eye drops. Now, I still use those daily. To this day, that medication. So, you know, the booklet said, in time of illness, says that our thinking and actions may be affected by any mind and mood altering medications. And so I really researched and talked to the doctors and struggled with the Singulair and the Azelastine eye drops. But they don't alter my mood, okay? Just handle the symptoms of the allergies. And you know, so I've taken those regularly. And then I stroked out. And they wanted to put me on medication, heart medication. And things of that nature. And I took that for a very short period of time. And I decided to recuperate and to handle these things through different methods. And I was reading in this In Times of Illness pamphlet, and it says this. It says, sometimes our members have found alternative methods of treatment that can be used. And I don't hear that talked about a lot in our meetings. I hear the use of medication talked about a lot, but I don't hear that talked about a lot. And I do know that a lot of y'all have pursued vigilantly other methods of treatment, and then may still have had to utilize medication after exhausting those resources, or y'all, some of y'all may have utilized medication and then found alternative ways, and all of those things occur in our program, and that's the beauty of our program, because if we don't, if I stay vigilant, don't allow what I'm doing to affect my spiritual and mental program, then I'll still apply spiritual principles and take appropriate action. I'll use prudence in what I do. I'll use prudence being defined as skill and good judgment in the use of my resources. And so, I just recently have... What occurred is after years and years and years of taking the Singulair and the eye drops, it's having an effect on my respiratory system, and then compounded with the heat stroke in my heart. You don't ever fully recover from these heat strokes. I'm talking about I had a heat stroke. I'm not talking about just, I had to go to the emergency room. I was fixing to die when that occurred. But, I got to where I don't want to take the medicine daily. I just don't want to do it. It's having some, I'm having some, my strength is starting to fade. My endurance is starting to fade. Now, I'm not blaming this medicine on all of that because I'm 63 years old, okay? So your strength and your endurance fades naturally at this age as well, and I've taken that into consideration. But I went to the, I started to research alternative treatments for the allergies, and the homeopathic stuff just didn't work, okay? The store-bought stuff just didn't work, and And my wife is Vietnamese, and so she knows all type of natural remedies for all types of things. My wife is not an addict. Her first way of dealing with the headache is to go take a nap. And my wife has was raised and grew up during the Vietnam War, and she was a prisoner of war after the fall of Saigon for 3 years in communist re-education camps. And it took her another six, after she was released from there, it took her another 6 years to escape to America with her 18-month-old baby. So my wife has been through the horror of war, not only the horror of war, but the horror of being imprisoned by the communists. And now my wife treated her PTSD through the years with spiritual principles. That's how she's dealt with it. And my wife is successful. When I married my wife, she was a homeowner. She had a great career. She financially sound, but also she's a good person. She's a nice woman. People love her. She does service in her community. She's very well known in the beaches ballroom dance. The past 2 weeks, one of her friends went to Vietnam, and she's got two teenage kids, and the two teenage kids are in school. So every night, my wife would go pick them up from school and then go stay at her friend's home with the teenage kids at night. So there's people out there that are not in our program that understand the power of a relationship with a higher power and the application of spiritual principles. My wife is one of them. Now, that does not mean that she does not have PTSD and have terrible issues with it from time to time. There's no doubt about it. Okay. And that's a whole nother, I could have a whole discussion on that. But my point is this: my wife has chosen to find alternative methods to deal with her PTSD. She doesn't take medicine. She's not under psychiatric care. And that was a huge example. And so anyway, right now I'm taking the treatment for the allergies. I go every week, and they give me shots to acclimate me to the allergies that I'm allergic to. And I'm allergic to all kind of stuff. I mean, they were I mean, the drops weren't, they didn't even offer those to me because of the level of allergy that I have. And so I'm on this program for the next, for it's a 2-year program. And it doesn't bother me. The utilization of them using hypodermics on me doesn't bother me. I have freedom from that. And that's a direct result of working the steps and having a relationship with a higher power, And I like this saying in this pamphlet. It says, regardless of how we work our mental and spiritual program of recovery, we may react to medication like we did when using drugs. I never lose sight of that. I never read this pamphlet until recently. It's known that if I get a flu, all right, that I need to do DayQuil and not NyQuil. All right, I don't take NyQuil because it's got alcohol in it. And even with the DayQuil, I need to be careful on using it because my body does not know the difference between a street drug, an over-the-counter drug, or a drug prescribed by a doctor. And if I'm not on top of my business, that disease that I've got arrested and locked up, it'll do a jailbreak, And so I have to really be careful of how much medicines I'm taking and what I'm doing, because I want y'all to understand something. I ain't going back. Y'all really need to hear me on this. I am not going back, and I am not going to risk my recovery on certain issues. I just ain't going to do it. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to be extremely vigilant and careful, especially when I'm utilizing something that's going to remove pain or change my mood, because that's what drugs did. That's what the street drugs did. So I need to be real careful with that. And then, I didn't know how to share on this topic, and so I hope that this is going well for this. This is what I always tell newcomers. In Chapter 3, Why Are We Here?, it has a very, very excellent line. It says, when we realize that we are not able to manage without drugs, some of us immediately begin to experience depression, anxiety, hostility, and resentment. I'm going to tell y'all something. I have seen more people come in and immediately start experiencing depression and anxiety and hostility and immediately go seek other care. Usually ends up getting prescribed medicine. And then that person is in a meeting sharing about that, and then I've never seen them again. Or I've seen them come back in a year later, strung out and beat up, you know. And so it's normal and natural to experience this stuff when we first get clean. And just maybe if we do the 12 steps and get a sponsor and read the literature and do a little bit of service for a few days or a few months or a few years, those issues get resolved, okay? And we really need to, let folks know, hey, you know, when I can tell y'all something, I was an arrogant, hostile son of a bitch. I was a mean dude. And I'm talking about for years in recovery, okay? And it took a long time for me to get over that hostility. It wasn't until I was in my marriage about 4 years that I really overcame that and got a solution to it. And that means I was clean for 10 years at that time. And so I just wanted to bring that up. That's a great line. Then I'm going to end with this. I know I'm about out of time, maybe even gone over. But in the end times of illness, it says this. As a member of the group, we try to be mindful of the message we carry. We have found that a meeting may not be the ideal personal details about our diagnosis and treatment. Our experience shows us that sharing these details one-on-one with a trusted NA friend or sponsor instead of in a meeting can help to maintain an atmosphere of recovery. You know, I shared with y'all my medical history. I don't share that in meetings, okay? And I know it's important that things that affect our recovery, we need to share. But we as mature members of this program, or Gerald as a mature member of this program, I need to be mindful that I can say things that can give a newcomer a reason to go get high instead of surrendering to the solution, which is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank y'all for letting me share.
Oh,
Thank you,
thank you
Gerald.
very
Thank you
much,
much. Thank you,
Gerald.
Chair. Thank you.